Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. So good to be able to gather together and to worship Jesus and to speak, for me to speak about Jesus. I realize that's a real privilege to do that this morning. And my prayer is that each of us will see something new of Jesus today. And I asked, can I get up a bit earlier than normal? Because I feel like the response today is going to be a response of worship. It's going to be a response of thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you've done. And last Sunday, Chris brought an excellent word to us. Do you remember the word? I want to ask you, how has your week been? And I'm really asking is, how has your grumbling been this week? How are your grumble levels? Oh, yes, you remember now that one, right? So Chris spoke brilliantly about that. I think just to be clear as well, I just want to say, because someone asked a question afterwards to me last week, I just want to say it's okay to be honest when you're going through tough times. What we're not saying is don't ever be honest about the tough times you're going through and fake that you're happy and thankful, okay? If you are struggling, if you were in the situations that the people of Israel were in and you were struggling and you don't have enough food, it's okay to say, I'm really struggling, I don't have enough food, this is really hard, I don't know where God is in my situation. That's okay, that's not grumbling. It's about the attitude of our hearts. There's a difference between being authentic with others about how we're doing with a conversation that's rooted in faith. It's really hard to find God in this situation, but I will still trust him. As opposed to, I'm in a really difficult situation right now. I'm going to grumble and gossip about it. And it's not a faith in God conversation. So those are two very different things. The one that Chris was talking about last week was this one. Okay, we don't do that. We have authentic relationships with others, and we talk about our struggles, absolutely. That's good to do. And Exodus 16, verse 35 tells us that the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years. I was thinking about this. My wife, Angela, she likes to feed. Okay, she likes to cook, she likes to feed. Often she will cook so much food that there will be leftovers the next day. Sometimes there will even be leftovers on the third day. And, you know, maybe there might be a little bit of grumbling from within the family, no names, about, are we really eating the same meal again for a second day or a third day in a row? We're talking 40 years in the desert that these guys were eating manna. Imagine eating the same food every day for 40 years. They had plenty of practice to get free from grumbling. But the reality is that God changes us over time. We're on a journey. We're on a lifetime of discipleship. And so I want to say to you, if you've not grumbled all week this week, well done, but you're not there yet. Don't get too prideful, okay? And if you haven't managed to live any differently this week and you realize actually, oh no, I've forgotten all about it and I've grumbled and grumbled and grumbled this week, that's okay as well, because God, there's still plenty of time for God to shape you and change you on the journey. And so we are all on this journey, just like the people of Israel were. And today we're going into Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to see Moses and the community of people that he was leading haven't got free of grumbling yet, okay? And so we are in Exodus chapter 17. I've called this Moses, the rock and the banner. That's what we're looking at today. And I just as well want to give credit and recommend this book to you. This is a commentary from the For You series, so that you can get these for all the different books of the Bible. And this is Exodus For You. It's a guy called Tim Chester. Lots of people said the preaching's been really great in this series. I want to tell you that this resource has been so helpful. And much of what I'm going to bring today, I've got as I've read this book. Okay, so I want to acknowledge Tim Chester for his excellent writing. And I want to tell you that we're reading this, we're making it our own, we're being inspired by God as we read the Bible for ourselves as well. But if you want to go into this deeper, get that book, it's really excellent. Right, let's read Exodus chapter 17, verse 1-4. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded, and they camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. And they said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." I mean, that's a serious level of grumbling going on right there. They are ready to stone their leader, Moses, for the way that they were feeling. And previously, we'd seen that the people had grumbled about what they left behind. Chris spoke about that they said, in Egypt, we sat around pots of meat. Life was wonderful. That's how they remembered their life in Egypt as slaves. And that's kind of what sometimes happens, that we get deluded by stuff. Life was so much better there. Well, they've grumbled about that. And now they're grumbling not just about where they've come from, but what they've been brought into. We're all going to die. Us, our children, our livestock, we are going to die of thirst. Why did you bring us out into this place? They are saying. So there's this real culture of grumbling going on. And we're going to read on now to see what God did in response to their grumbling. And we're going to see an incredible miracle, but more than that, we're going to see some incredible truth that God reveals through this encounter. And I'm going to try and show this a little bit more interactively and visually than I normally do when I preach. So we're going to look first of all at Exodus 17, verse 5 onwards from there. So the Lord answered Moses, I want you to go out in front of the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Right, just need to move this out of the way. Right, I need a Moses. I need someone that looks like they could be a leader of the people. Okay. Mark, you're near me. I'm going to grab you. Come on, Moses. Right, this is my Moses for this morning. Just come and stand here. So I'm bringing Moses out in front of all the people with some of the elders of the people. So, okay, we use you, Chris, because you're an elder of the people here. So you come out and, come and just stand over here. You're representing the elders of the people. Okay, and the rest of you, they're out in front of the people. Okay, so that's the rest of you. You are the people of Israel. And then it says this, take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. So, we need a staff for Moses. Went on a nice dog walk in the pits yesterday and found myself the best looking staff that I could find. I thought I was pretty pleased with that one. So, now this is the staff that Moses had carried through much of this journey for the people of Israel. This is the staff through which he did miracles. He threw it on the ground and it became a snake. That's what he did, yeah. Okay. He commanded the plagues to come and they came. He parted the Red Sea with this staff. This was the staff that brought judgment on those who refused to submit to God. Okay? And then it says this in verse 6, I will stand there, says God, before you by the rock at Horeb. Okay, I need someone that could represent God for us. Sue King, can I ask you, would you be welcome? Would you mind just coming and standing? Come on, I would love you to come. I think you'd be great at this, Sue. Okay, and we need a rock, okay? So I've got myself a rock. Just come. All you've got to do, Sue, is stand here by the rock. There you go. Just sort of relax and sit, stand by the rock. Okay. So we've got the elders representing the people. We've got Moses and his staff of judgment. And we've got God stood over on this side by the rock. I want you to notice what God is setting up here. I want you to look carefully because what we've got here is a courtroom scene. We've got Moses, the judge, in the case of the people of Israel against God. Okay? The elders, they're representing the people of Israel who were bringing the case. They were testing God. They were saying that they've put God in the dock. They are saying, the Lord, Yahweh, the great I am, why have you brought us out? We were better off without you. They're making these accusations. And if you read on, you see into verse 7, they're saying, is the Lord among us or not? They are putting God to the test. In the middle, you've got Moses, the judge, with the staff of judgment in his hand. And on this side, we've got God who stood by the rock. And we all know in this court case what the outcome should be, don't we? Where is the innocent party and where is the guilty party? You see, we all know that God is innocent. We know that God has done no wrong. And we know that the people are the ones who are grumbling and they're bringing these accusations at God, but they are the ones that are in the wrong. But let's look at what God says to Moses next. He says, strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. Remember, the grumbling was at this point about thirst and about water. So water will come out. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called this place Massa and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That is the court case that we've got going on. So Moses, what I want you to do is pick up your staff and I want you to walk over to the rock and as sensibly as you... there we go, okay, he struck the rock. So what this symbolizing, I picked a good Moses there, didn't I? You see, what this is doing, this is not what we would expect. But God says, bring the staff of judgment, not down on the people, but on my side of the case. Declare judgment on me. Let me take what the people deserve. And as he does so, no striking that, please. Living water if only I had a tap and it just living water comes from the rock. Fresh water comes from the rock. Now, is this ringing any bells? Are you seeing why we call this series Crossing Over? Is this reminding you of another court case? The people versus the Lord. The people versus Jesus. Yet again, accusations were being made. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. You're not our king. We will not submit to you. We were better off without you. Once again, there was a public gallery of people that were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. We do not want him as our king. And it's clear to see in this example where the judgment should fall. Because you have Jesus who was innocent, and you have the people who were guilty, and God says, strike the rock. Bring the judgment down on me, that all who trust in me will be declared not guilty. They will go forgiven and free. This is where the staff should have come down. It's amazing, isn't it? And all who come to Jesus, the rock, Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you living water. And streams of living water, he's talking about the Spirit, will be given to you. And blessing and forgiveness from God flows from Jesus, our rock, as God takes judgment on himself and has declared us not guilty. Right, you guys can go and sit down for a moment. Thank you so much. Give him a round of applause. And the Apostle Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. Just listen to this. He speaks specifically about this example from Moses' day. And he says this, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. We've read those parts of the story already, right? They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food, the manna, and they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Do you see Jesus in this story? Jesus is our rock. And we sing songs about Jesus being our rock, and sometimes we imagine the firm foundation part of that, and that's true as well. Jesus still told the story about the man that built his house on a firm foundation of the rock. And so, you know, we can see Jesus as our rock in a number of different ways. But in this example, and often when we're singing about Jesus the rock, he is the one who took the judgment of God, and out of that moment flowed rivers of living water, of blessing and forgiveness. Okay, that's part one of this morning. And the first picture we get of Jesus. Now there's a second picture that we get of Jesus. in the next part of this chapter. I'm going to move on. It's another story for the people of Israel. So God had previously led them away from war. Do you remember that? As they came out of Egypt, God said, the people were actually dressed for battle, but God said, I'm going to lead them away from battle. I'm going to take them the long way round so that they don't have to face battle because they're not ready for it. But now at this point, they come to their first literal battle that we read about. In Exodus 17, verse 8, it says this, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, same place. And Moses said to Joshua, first mention of Joshua, by the way, who would later become the leader of the people after Moses. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. Right, we need a Joshua. You thought I'd finished, hey? Who's a Joshua? Right, Albert, let's have you. Come on, come and be Joshua for me, please. Right, here's a fine-looking warrior. This is a Joshua. Now, we need some Amalekites. Oh, come on. Come on, Sarah. Come on. This is a good battle here, okay? We've got a battle going on. This is down in the valley. We've got the people of Israel led by Joshua, and we've got the Amalekites led by Sarah here. Okay. And it says this, Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. Moses, I need you back. Just when you thought you were Moses with his staff. Right, I want you to come over here. This is the hill.
Where's the hill?
You're here on the hill, and we need an Aaron and we need a Hur. Johnny Selly, come and be an Aaron. Please come and stand alongside him. And Jean Ann, can I have you as a... You're a Hur. Come and stand... Come and stand next to Moses. Now it says this, as long as Moses held up his hands with his staff in it, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hand, right, hang on, you're right. Let's come on, Israelites, let's have a bit of a winning. The Israelites are winning. But when Moses lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Okay. And I want you to remember, mind that battle there as you're coming in. Right, I want you to remember that this is the staff of God's judgment, which is being directed towards the nations of people that will rebel against him. And so when Moses is holding that staff up, the people of God are winning. And when it lowers down, the battle goes the other way. Then it says this, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone or a rock, and put it under him, and he sat on it. So, just take a little lean back on that, Moses, because you're getting tired. Isn't that interesting that Moses, as he gets weary, the rock appears again for him to rest back on? Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. This is a picture of team. This is a picture of God's people standing together to hold one another up as they rest back on the rock who is Jesus. And as they do that, the people of Israel continue to win the battle. But whenever they step away from that posture, the Amalekites are winning. And it says this, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Yeah, let's have a round of applause, a cheer, right? Right, Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword, but it wasn't really the sword, was it? And the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Now, this is something God said to Moses, and maybe he discussed it with Aaron and Hur over here. And he says, write this on a scroll and make sure that Joshua, something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears about it. So Joshua over here is delighted with himself and the army that they have won this battle. But really, the battle hasn't been won here. The battle has been won here. And so it says this, Moses just you can put your staff down for a moment. Moses built an altar and called, which is a place of worship and a place to remember what God has done. And they called it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, a banner or a standard was what soldiers would look at in battle. It was like a visual rallying point. When two armies were fighting each other, the standard would go up. And if you could see that your standard was still up, you know you were still winning, or you were still in the fight. And so you would look to the banner, and it would energize, and it would help the troops to persevere. But in this instance, the banner is not on the battlefield. But the banner, "The Lord is my banner," is raised on the hill. So I want you to cross over with me once again to another hill. Another hill called Calvary, where another man, another leader of the people, stood with his arms outstretched. Another story of judgment, where the people should have received God's judgment, but instead, God, Jesus, received the judgment on himself. And again, God's people were liberated and set free from their enemies. And whereas Moses was lifting his hands to deliver judgment, on that hill called Calvary, Jesus lifted his hands to receive judgment and to receive the judgment of God on him so that the people could go free. Isn't that a powerful, powerful message, powerful picture? Thank you, guys. You can go and sit down. So Jesus is our rock, and Jesus is our banner. And it's as we look to him that we realize that the judgment that should have fallen on us fell on him instead. And he was the rock who was struck. The judgment of God came down upon him, that streams of living water could flow for the people. And he is the banner that we look to in the battle, because that is where the battle is won. Jesus has already won the battle, but we stand together with him on the hill, holding one another's arms up, looking to Jesus as our victor as we fight the battles of life. So what does this mean for us? First,